Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys for joining here at Testimony Tuesday. I want to make sure we're coming in clear here. Most of you have been joining us on the station. We've been having some complications with the system, and I'm telling you, I don't really like giving excuses. I'm the kind of person that don't like to give excuses for anything. But I want to make sure we're coming through clear and making sure we get an accurate sound through the system. Now, during the course of the time of this service, you might catch some blur. But like I said, we've been doing some technical things with the system. We're working very hard and really expeditiously to maybe get it back to where it needs to be. So my voice may sound faded or anything. For those who are on the line, say, hey, Pastor Ellis, you kind of, it's kind of pushing out. You know, just kind of give me some leverage here on how I need to probably adjust some things on our next run. But right now, we're already into the show. And it's a pleasure for you guys to join us and be with us on tonight for our Testimony Tuesday. We want to let you guys know on every Monday at 10:30 a.m. and sometimes it rolls in at 9:45, depending on how my schedule is, that you got co-pastor Patty Austin coming in live and strong. Always got a powerful prophetic and a teaching word that's come from the kingdom of God. It's necessarily not that she speaks a whole lot of prophecy in anyone's life, but she speaks things to the point that it helps you understand that there's a different walk that God has in store for you, and it's really designed and engineered for you to be just what God called you to be, even on this Tuesday on our early morning service. It's always a show that's running on. is probably a pre-recorded service. And most of the time on Tuesday mornings, we run a pre-recorded service from either one of the 20 shows. Now, this actually area is called Blog Talk. It holds five different shows, but the Spreaker show holds about 20 different platforms. So it only reaches here in the United States. It's all out over the world. So over, and as we come on tonight, you see, for those who light up on the system, you might hear some glitching and some kind of twisting. Well, that's our international friends that's over in the distant land. We got them coming out of England, London, Europe. We got them coming out of France, and they just all over the world. They come in and they be a part of the station. Sometimes you guys don't get a feedback because of the Wi-Fi system runs kind of like a bottleneck. Their system is not as advanced as ours here in the state. But every once in a while, they kind of get a hand up. They get a chance to get in and have something to say. But like I said, we're going to get moving here. We thank you guys for joining us on Testimony Tuesday. And it's just a pleasure, you know, with so much things and so many things that's going on, just being able to get the effort to get up to just move. And I'm telling you, sometimes this system is so complex to the point you just don't really want to deal with it. But, you know, how many people know that, you know, you got to be able to work at something and get something. You know, here at Harvest Light Church, this is not a fly by night. I mean, it's something that we work years and get into play, and then we have something come in to try to attack it. It's really attack on the body of Christ, and you got to really get God involved in what these things are that's coming against that, what God has called you to do in the season which you're in. It's enormous for those who are on the line, and some of those who have been knowing me for the last 8, 9, 10 years here in Texas in this ministry know that. Me and my wife work very hard in doing the work we're doing here at Harvest Light Church. What they got for a man of God out of Chicago, Illinois, by Apostle Treadwell. He's a great man of God. There's some things that he's going to be linking up, him and I, in the ministry and move forward and doing some other things to help advance the kingdom to go forth. Also, I want to sort of say my hat's off to Apostle Oscar Walker down at Disciples Tabernacle Church in Houston, Texas, a man of God, a disciple maker, and that's just what he does. He creates disciples makers. He creates disciples, and disciples make disciple makers. He does it in other words, saints. He knows saints, but this man is a disciple maker, a true disciple maker, old in his age, but powerful in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and knows how to be a father in the ministry. He knows how his word is truth, is bond. He don't play games. He's not shooting for accolades, position, or cliques, or clubs. He's really about doing the work of the kingdom, and this is what I love about him. I want to also make sure we're praying for Bishop Raymond Johnson down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in his ministry. It's such a powerful prophetic ministry, such a huge facility. Wow. And some of us know some of the storms that hit Baton Rouge here a while back, and that's a huge sanctuary right there, you know. Down, I think it's over 10,000 seated in that sanctuary, and God is doing some new work with him as he go forth and he will continue to do the work that he's doing in the kingdom of God. But let's get started here. We want to open up with prayer. You know, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God, we thank you for this opportunity, this time, this moment, as we go forth in the word, just to be able to reflect and declare and decree and know that through you, Father God, you're just a God of the impossibility. You never fail us. You never forsake us. You said in your word, you know, we continue to believe, walk, and declare and decree and understand that you are God. And beside you, there's no other. I believe what the word of God really says. I believe there's nothing he will withhold from us as we continue to move forth and be obedient to his statutes, his commands, and all that he declared us to do in the season in which we're in. The word of God speaks a very powerful word. And it goes over talking about Testimony Tuesday. And when you talk about testimony, you talk about how, you know, even as a man or woman of God walking forth, you know, there's nothing no more powerful or more powerful than a miracle testimony. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? That a testimony is really designed to touch the heart of the individual and really prove that God's word is really truth, that it launches us into a whole other category of belief. Because when we see a miracle in an issue or something happen with somebody in their life, God really is in the midst of everything. You know, the truth is dedicated. And when we talk about the process of how the truth is really, it conveys, it really, it shows us even the related stories that happen. We're talking about the 10 lepers. We're talking about in the book of Luke 17. We talk about the woman with the issue of blood. So many that I can give you. You know, Elijah at the well. You know, we're talking about all these different things, that the power of God is always trembling in the midst of the heart of a believer, knowing that whatever he speaks and declares, it won't go back void. It really brings the disbeliever to attention to believe that if he done it for them, he can do it for me. Testimonies are powerful. They are mighty. You know, you hear so many stories about men and women of God who went into the actual doctors and felt certain parts of their body wasn't correct, and they had to go into emergency surgery, but they knew God was right there with them. You know, so many stories have heard and prayed in the midst of people who get testimonies how God was, they actually saw God right there on the operating table with them, guiding them all the way through the anesthesia as the very surgeon began to make the cut. I can remember a man of God who tells me a lot down there in the area of Louisiana. Pastor Williams, he said, there's two types of cut that a person does. And this is both verbally and this is both physically. You know, sometimes, you know, not really sometimes, but all the time, it depends how you shape your words when they come out of your mouth. It's words that can, they can cut to kill, or they can cut to heal. A surgeon speaks in terms of Proverbs and how God relates things to your life as being a glorious God. So what he does, he takes his scalpel and he cuts carefully and precisionly in an area where it won't harm any other organs, because he's carefully took a thought on how he needs to do it. Now, that's a testimony itself. But a person who comes to gag you, they don't care what they cut. They're just going to stick it. And whatever organs they're going to cut into is meant to try to kill you. But God is declaring by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, he's confirming, even as we look at the word and we go over the book of Luke chapter, John. Let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to look at some very powerful things that God began to speak. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. I speak it all as one because I believe in the Trinity. So when we look at Jesus and he looks over here in the book of Luke chapter 14 and verse 9, Jesus said unto them, I have been with thee. I have been with you so long with thee that you had not known me, Philip. Now he's talking a very significant word. In the King James Version, he puts a very apostrophe right there, a question mark. Jesus is really saying, I want to put it in my own sense before I read it now. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, but I'm going to actually read the scripture itself over there in the verse, chapter 14 and verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I so long a time with you, and yet has thou not known me, Philip? Now that speaks volume in the life of a lot of people. Why are you still in the position you're in? Why are you still struggling? You know, the word of God talks about self-examination. But in the midst of self-examination, you got to know your self-worth, who you are, and what you speak out of your mouth is a sincere word in the kingdom of God. Some of us don't want to bring a sincere word until something is really happening or something going on in our life. He goes on in that ninth verse, and he goes on in the second half. He said, he that seeth me has seen the Father. Now, notice what he's saying. How have you been with so long, Peter, and you still don't know who I am? But he that seeth me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show me the Father? That's a person who's really not being attentive to what's going on around them. But Jesus makes another very strong testament in terms of what he's done in an area to make people believe that the miracles and the signs and wonders he's doing is all from his Father. He goes in that verse, he says, believeth thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? He said, I speak. He said, believe not me, I'm the Father, and the Father in me. He said, the words that I speak unto you, you know speak. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Let me make sure I get that understanding right, because I want to make sure it's clear, because as I give utterance, the Holy Spirit is giving me revelation of some things. He said, believe it not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak, I'm coming from the Father, I'm speaking. I can't do anything but what he puts in me. The words that I speak unto you, it speaks not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. Now, the Word of God says there's something great on the inside of us. There's a testimony inside of us waiting to come out, to talk and to speak into someone's life about a condition that they're dealing with. Knowing that the power is in words, the power is in belief, the power is in faith. The Bible declares, decrees that God has given us the ability, according to Romans 4:17, to speak and call things that be not with the word. Well, Pastor Ellis, what are you saying? Well, according to the book of Genesis 1:26, you have been given dominions of power and supremacy, authority to rule and reign, to convict and arrest, to shut down everything in the life of an individual if you know how to speak. You got to learn how to talk. The word of God comes on and he speaks about the process of how we as men and women, God, we are revealed to have the secret things in our life. What is the secret thing? Deuteronomy 29 and 29 speaks those very things. What God knows, I know. If I'm in the Son of God and then in the very presence of God, he comes back in Psalms 84, 11 and said, now there's no good thing that I hold from Charles, whoever may on the line, that I nothing that I will hold though if you walk upright. It's a process the way you walk. To understand that even when we look at the part of this very particular scripture, we look over here in the book of John in that 10th verse, and we go down to that 9th verse, Philip didn't even understand. He didn't have no idea of who he was dealing with because Jesus had to really correct him. He really had to cut him back on position. He said, you've been with me this long, and you still don't know who I am, and you say, show me the Father? Now, it goes in the 10th verse, and Jesus really speaks a commanding in a very prophetic word. He said, have you seen all these miracles that I've done? They didn't come from me. They come from the Father, because the Father who speaks inside of me. In other words, greater than he that's in you than he in the world. Notice how he says this. Believe it or not that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. That's prophetic in itself. Then when you understand your self-worth, who you are and whose you are, you're nothing but a mere piece of clay down here on earth with the very gift God has given you. According to Jeremiah 1 and 5, before you were formed, before you was created, before you was genetically engineered, there's been a voice box to put in your design to speak power, supremacy, authority. You've been designed to speak eternity in the life of yourself and as other individuals as well. Notice how he says this. The words that I speak not of myself, but I speak of the one who sent me. Now, let me back up to the 9th, the 10th verse. Believe it thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words carry shape. You know, you hear people talk about how sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, that's not true. Words hurt. In relationship, what you say to one another, what you say to other people, words carry clout. They carry power. They carry things that can hurt you. They can convict you. They can arrest you. That's why the word of God said, be careful how you speak and what you speak. That when you know how to speak, you'll know how to access the kingdom. The word of God declared to people, he said, behold, I've given you the what? Power. Tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Let's take something of significance here. When we think about the testimonies, what Jesus Christ is about to do, about how he's been a man of God, well, he's been God put in the flesh and come down to earth to perform the work that his Father called him to do. Now, we live over in the book of Hebrews 12. He says, I am the author and the finish. I've been designed and engineered and planned to do this, but I come to show you as being a duplicate to do the same thing that I'm doing. Now that I'm gone, you got the power to do the same thing. Genesis told us the very same thing. The power has been given to you. The authority has been given to you. Notice what he says right here in the 11th verse. Now, let me go to the 10th verse again. I want to make sure we get this, because this is a word that the Lord is bringing in terms of testimony. How you as a man or woman got to understand testimonies are already in you. He goes and said, believe it not that I'm in the Father in me. The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the work. It's not you. The word of God declares in the book of Ephesians, he said, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high place. The word of God also decrees and declares, lean not to your own, but acknowledge God in all his ways, and he'll direct your path. The word of God says, every burden cast it upon him. Because when you get in the physical, you're telling you, it turns into disaster. The Bible said you got to be able to turn it over to Jesus, that he'll work everything out in your life. When it seems like the enemy is coming up from every side, when it comes in like a flood, God said, your mouth is what raised the standard. Why does he say that? Because there's a life and death is in the power of your mouth. He's giving you a testimony. He's giving you information that they've declared a word in such a way that no weapon formed, no weapon designed, no weapon created or engineered against you shall prosper. God is speaking very prophetically in the scripture because he wants you to understand that when you understand who he is and who you are, who he is in you, to greater than he that's in you that he did in the world, he's letting you know you have been given the supremacy. You have been given the power. Let's look at the 11th verse. believe me that I'm in the Father. Listen how he's saying. This is the same thing he's speaking on to you. Christ is telling you the testimonies and the deliverance, whatever you are dealing with in your life, is already in you. Greater than he that is in you than he that in the world. Jesus speaks in reference of his Father being in him. So he's able to speak through the power and authority of his Father to know that everything he proceeded out of his mouth has got to go forth. We read it in Isaiah 55:11. Every word that proceeds out of what? The mouth of God goes forth. It will not and it shall not come back void. But notice that Jesus' word is revelation. It had already accomplished and done all that therein. Remember what he said, how he was wounded for our transgressions. We notice the increments. I was wounded. It's a past tense. Everything has already been done. But it's up to the believer to be able to believe and understand that power and authority is in his mouth. Your testimonies are in your mouth. The word of God declares in Luke 11 verse again, he said, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the works' sake. Now, I want to show you something very strong here. Just speaking about this person is processing John 14. I want to take you over to the area of Mark 16 and notice how he says similarity, to what he's actually speaking about in John 14. He talks about the process of performance and the signs. This is testimony talk we're talking tonight. Jesus declares a word over in the book of Mark chapter 16, and let's go down to the 17th verse. I want to start there before we go to the top. I'm going to kind of cut this in half because I want to get some of the people that are online as the lines begin to flood. We thank you guys for coming in and being a part of this show on tonight. It is a prophetic office. It moves in the authority of the Holy Spirit that no weapon formed designed against it shall prosper. Notice what he says over in the book of Mark chapter 16 and the 17th verse. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Notice what he's saying. If you believe, you got testimonies. And if you believe what you speak in the life of an individual, they can give a testimony. Did I say something there? These signs will follow them that believe in my name. And they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. He's talking about the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just a shout out by Harakada Lubusa, but he wanted to let you understand you speak power and revelation. That when you speak in the life of an individual, they be healed. Even as Jesus spoke to the lepers over there in Luke 17, he said, go show yourself to the priest. That even when we go back to the book of John, over there in the 5th chapter, even when the land laid there for 39 years, and then it's 3 and 8 years in the position he was in. But the word of God say in the midst that he talked about when the angel came down to trouble the waters, Jesus really trying to get the man to understand the power was already there. But now today you without excuse, I'm going to come and I'm going to reach my hand out to you and prove to you that do I want to be made whole? And the man began to hesitate and began to make excuses. Look, when God gives you authority, when he gives you power, and he gives you supremacy, and he gives you the ability to be able to call and cast, declare, decree, and speak unto that whatever it is that may be in your life, it's called you to the opposite what he designed you to be. You got to be able to grab it. He says once again in the book of John, Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Now look what he said they would do. They will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. Let's look at the 18th verse. They shall take up serpents. Serpents is an individual thing. It represents evil. And it just got to be just a process of a snake. Anything that is evil that can probably come against you. They should take up serpents. They should drink any deadly thing, not just physically drinking. But sometimes you got to watch what you're putting in your mouth in such a way that when you take in ingest the word of God. I look at it as that also. Be careful who speaks into you and be careful who speaks over you. Don't let everybody too be quick to lay hands on you. You want to see, I tell people like this all the time, and they got a problem with this. If you want to grease somebody down, you grease yourself down. Because the word of God declares to me, it says like this, that every one of us is coming short of the glory. Every one of us is falling short of the very supremacy and authority that he designed for us to have. That's why he died on the cross, that we all may have the right to the tree of life. He said there's not one right. I mean, not one right. All have fallen short. But Jesus declares this word right here. They should pick up serpents. It really is in Luke 10 and 19. They should pick up serpents. And also Ephesians 1 and 21. They should pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, I'm talking about, this is what you're talking about over in the book of Psalms 91. The secret place, when you understand the secrets of God, Deuteronomy 29 and 29. Am I there? I'm trying to get you to see your testimonies and the power God is putting you is already there. The supremacy and authority has already been given on to you as being man, woman, and God. We're trying to get a little chick, a little mic. Y'all keep praying as we go forth in word. But listen to what he's saying right there once again. They should take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They should lay hands, am I in there, on the sick, and they shall recover. Who should lay hands? The Bible talks about who should dwell in the holy hills. Who's with clean hands and a pure heart? That's what Psalms 24 tells me. But when we come back over and look at verse 19, notice what Christ is saying on it once again. So then after the Lord spoke unto them, he received up unto heaven. He was already taken away with the demonstration to understand, now I'm leaving the authority in your hands, because now it's there for you to design and do what I declared you to do. So after the Lord spoke unto them, he received up to heaven and sat on the right hand of the Father. Notice verse 20. And they went forth and they preached. What did they do? They preached. Well, the Lord working with them and confirming signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. They got testimonies coming. If they believe that what he said over in the book of John 14, that the work that I'm doing is not of myself, but it's of the Father who sent me, they will have testimony after testimony about what the signs and the powers and the word of God done in their life. We read over in the book of Luke 9. The book of Luke 9 tells them that he called them together. He gave them power. He gave them authority to rule, to reign over all deadly diseases and sickness and everything that was out there. And these boys came back with testimony. But they had to understand, and we all as man and woman of God got to understand, if we're going to speak the word of God and we're going to have the power of the testimonies to be able to say what God done in life when we spoke it, not of ourselves but through God, we got to understand the model prayer. And when you look at the book of Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 11, he says over there in Luke chapter 11, they said, look, Lord, teach us. The disciples came, Lord, teach us how to pray. He was giving them the keys to the kingdom. You give them an open opportunity if they acknowledge God in all their way. And if you let him direct your path, the Bible declares according to Psalms 84:11, there's no good thing what God holds for you. Because now you come into a seeking phase, seeking first the kingdom of God and all of what? His righteousness, his precepts, his authority, his walk. Everything that we see according to the Ten Commandments rules and reigns with us. The first five part of commandments is your relationship with Christ. The second five part of commandment is your way to deal with men and women of God. If you're going to walk in power and authority, you got to get your mind right. You got to get your head right. Romans tells you, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as what? A living sacrifice. Not anything, but holy and acceptable. But you can't be conformed to the status and things of this world. But he said you got to be transformed. There's a renewing process that once you confess the word of God, according to Romans 10:8-9, and confess in your heart, and he says, where is the word? It's in your mouth. You know, if you say that God raised his son from the dead, he didn't say you might. He said you shall be saved. Right there, we got to understand there's a newness taking place. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man that be in, you got to be in Christ. He's a new creature. Because whatever is in you, once you begin to shift into a new atmosphere, as I hear Dr. J.C. Matthew said, that paradigm, there's a shifting that got to take place. There's a transformation that must take in your life. That's why he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, all old things, it's not going to come overnight. It's going to happen with you getting yourself in a position of being with people to be renewed. And when you go out and walk with power, guess what? God said the signs and wonders and miracles will follow them that believe. Let's open up our lines on this afternoon for discussion about this particular scripture. Maybe I'll get some word from somebody to tell me, hey, look, Pastor, okay, man, you're coming through pretty clear, or you're still kind of ragged, you know. Which y'all be hating up in here. You know, I'm no kidding up. The mic has got a cut zone on it. Tell me the truth. But we're trying to get the system together. Let's open up our lines for those who want to be a part of the discussion. For those who are calling in on tonight, the number to call in is 516-387-1220. And when you want to be able to flag yourself up or get some attention in the studio, all you have to do is push that little magic button number one. Now, don't y'all cry me all at once. We got one call in the line already. I believe this is Elder Kerry Williams. Now, you guys, when he come in, you can follow behind him. It's no push, no authority, no thrust. You don't have to run over top of anyone because we want to hear what you have to say concerning testimonies, because it's important that when things happen in your life, even on this line tonight, it doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. What you're going to speak tonight with all the hundreds of people that are listening on this line, is something you're going to help them with in their life. You don't have to be a preacher. You hear me saying? You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a bishop. We want to know the miracle that God has done for you in your life that you can help somebody know that, hey, look, I got hope too. We're going to come into it. We're going to actually open up the line to area code 989. And that's going to be 890. And that's going to be 1875. And as I said before, those of you who are coming in, the number is 516-387-1220. All you got to do is acknowledge that number one button, and then okay, you're in the studio. 989, you're in the studio. That's 890.
Hey, man, God bless you, Pastor Ellis. This is Elder Carey. God bless you, sir.
Man,
I am thoroughly enjoying this very powerful word tonight, man. And you were going forth, and especially when you were in the 16th chapter of Mark, I was just thinking and reminded of something that I was taught and told a long time ago. And it's simply this: when it comes to these signs and these things, older saints used to say all the time that your salvation, or lack thereof, will always tell on you. And it's as simple as this, you know, when God gives us, the one thing I love about the word of God is what's called command with promise. For instance, God tells you, or Jesus said, as a matter of fact, where you started out at over in the book of John, but Jesus said, you know, he's always giving a condition or a promise. He said, look, for, you know, you do this, then I will do that. And in this thing here, when he's telling us that, you know, as long as we believe, that's the promise, you know. He's promised to tell us as long as we believe, then the condition is that those signs will follow us. He also told us that we will do greater works than these, you know. Another thing, and the last thing I'm going to say, is the last thing I love about testimony. See, if you really understand what testimony means, testimony is equated to commandments. And, you know, commandments and keeping God's commandments. And matter of fact, and I believe it's the 116th Psalm, but I'm going to look it up again. But David quoted the word testimony until God, I've kept your commandments, you know, some 61 times. But the reason why it's so powerful, because, you know, when you're endeavoring to keep God's commands in your life, then it automatically builds your testimony. You're keeping that testimony of God. And that's why the words that you speak out of your mouth are so important. You hit it on the head. When Jesus told him, said, it's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but what comes out, because what comes out comes from his heart. So when you're keeping God's commands and you're putting God's commands and God's word daily into your heart, that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to produce that outwardly testimony. And your walk, God has it by design that your walk eventually becomes an open and an act of worship to him. So you don't even have to open your mouth sometimes, and your life will testify for you. The Spirit of God that you carry within you will testify for you. So I thank God for your teaching tonight, brother. God bless you.
You know, Elder, I heard Apostle Walker. It really was the same thing that he said. That he said, now we come into the era where men want to hear the voice. Matter of fact, you know, sometimes men can get so rebellious and so redundant, they want to hear how they sound. They want to hear their
exactly.
You hear what the word, they want to see how they crone and how they blow and how they let people feel good.
There
about
you go.
Them. But it's really not about them, because all you are is a piece of clay. You know, and then
right.
When you act that way, and we got to bring this to attention. And you got to really understand what I'm saying here. A man's testimony, a man's life reflects physically.
It is testimony. That's right.
It is not what you say, how good you can pray, but your life is going to reflect how you pray. If you got effective prayers, you have effective life. If things is happening in your life, hear me when I say this, it's going to be a proven fact that what you're praying about someone else is going to show you. Because I believe God's going to look at the very horn to bring forth the word. Now, he speaks in very strong process. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Now, translate it in such a way and bring a little bit more clarity to it. And what he simply said, well, you take care of me, like the man of God just said. It's about you taking care of him. He gives things, if you do this, then I'll do that. It's not a tit for tat, but he's wanting you to be obedient to the work you're doing. Because he said, these signs and wonders, notice how Elder Carey just reflected back on what we talked about. These signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Now, you go back to Matthew 6 and 33. He said, when you do take care of me, and then I'll take care of you. What happens in somebody else's life reflects on your life. You will see. It's something about when a person can actually minister the word of God and pray the word of God, but they have no fruit in their life. That mirifies me. It really does.
Amen.
When I see a person who can pray, can preach, and can teach, but then I see no fruit in their life, something is, it's like an oxymoron. Something wrong there.
That's right. That's right.
Right. You know, it's when you're fully examining yourself, where you are, who you are, you really need to take it back to the table. Say, God, okay, what is on this? What am I building here that I can't even get a move for myself? Why? Why is it not moving for me? But I'm praying for everybody else.
I've asked myself that many times. I've
really
asked God that many times.
Yeah, I mean, we all do. You know, even.
You know. As a matter of fact, the scripture that you open with, Jesus talking about the Father and him and he and the Father, that links directly with the 15th chapter of John, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, I am the true vine, and said, you know, if I abide in you and your words abide in me, you can go to the Father and ask what you will. It's a direct link. God connects through Jesus to us. And Jesus, that's why he's called the mediator. That's why he's called the bridge and the repair of the breach between God and man. You know, as long as we're in Christ, and Christ is in the Father, we have access to the Father.
Well, if any man to be in.
Exactly.
You know, if you be in, if he.
Got to
you
be
got,
in, though. Not with lip
got,
service.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Not with man service and people pleasing. But
yeah,
in the spirit.
It's not what you speak. It's what you...
Exactly.
Really have, people look at lip service, but they don't look at the life.
Like right.
What is teaching? He said, look, people, the reason we don't get young people to church like we need to get in church, because they look at the life that you're living and what you speak. God
want
to live. He want to live in faith. So he said, live in faith. God want to see that you speak and what you're doing. And when he see what you're doing, that's right by him, and you know you've done a thorough examination yourself, there's something that you got to question yourself. And you got to really count. You know, when you don't understand something, what was the word? What did Jesus said? He said, when you don't understand something and you're kind of leery and you're weary about why things are not happening for you, he said, fast. You know, because signs, these things are going to come by you fasting and praying. I'll even give you revelation and give you insights of what's happening. But this is the trick. This is the kicker to it. But some people see what they have, but they don't want to acknowledge it. Jesus made a, in the book of 1 Corinthians, I think the 3rd chapter and 11th verse, he said there's no other foundation. Notice how he says that. He's really giving a testament how you can succeed when you're going in Christ. He said there's no other foundation. First he gets on. Of course, everybody knows that it's on the line.
No man can lay.
He talks about Apollo and Paul. He talks about the boasted those two who thought they'd be something that they wasn't. But he comes back later on in the scriptures, you read the 11th verse, he said that there's no other foundation. Notice how he puts that. He said that the foundation is really ought to be right when we think about Jesus Christ. We look at the first part of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and it follows on with all the obedience and things he said came to fruition. Then we look at the New Testament. In the beginning was, the word was with. Now it's flowing. So now as men of God, we got to see, okay, where is it that I'm missing the balance here? You know, am I leaning to my own and not acknowledging God? Am I afraid to self-examine myself to know the things I'm dealing with? See, it's hard for you, because he told Apostle Paul, you know, Paul, you can't keep on kicking against this thing, man. Ain't no way you're going to win. What we don't want to do sometimes is let go and let God. And when you really let go, that's when you get what you call testimonies.
Amen.
About what God brought you from and what he's going to bring you to. Because sometimes those shackles are still shingling, and we know they're there. How do I know that? Because when you get in a certain situation, I was talking to a young man today, and he's a really good friend of mine. He's a very powerful young man. And he says that, you know, Pastor Ellis, sometimes when people get in my position, they start saying the wrong thing to me. You know, I get riled up. I get up. It's not saying that he can't be delivered, but he still got the power to go forth. But the enemy tries to come in and try to dictate that thing, because the Bible says that all old things has passed away. Behold, all things become new. But he says also, if any man to be in Christ, once again, he's a new creature. What does Christ tell us here? What is Elder Carey saying here? God is looking for you to be the testimony. If he's telling you no good thing, he'll hold for you, that if you walk upright, he means that. But he got to get you to let go something for him to bring you forth. Because the power has already been given to you. What are we willing to hang on to stop the supremacy that God has in store for us? The infinity that he has in store for us. What are we still hanging on to? And it really comes to the point that you got to really just say, hey, man, look, I'm so messed up. I'm so tore up from the floor up. I need a check up from the neck up, that I just got to surrender to Christ. I was talking to a young lady during the course of testimony that there was a young woman who was in one of our church services, and she literally believed the word of God. And she said, naked as you come and naked as you go. And the woman came before our ministry and dropped everything. And she had a gown on. We didn't get to help her. But there was just about the realness, and what she wanted to take place was so real with her, and that's how she was willing to do. I'm not ashamed that if I got to drop everything, and it really was a symbol, not from the physical standpoint of view, but she's a bad person. I'm tired of living the life I'm living. If I got to show myself in front of the people to be embarrassed that I'm clean, it's not too many people, Elder Carey. Now, I hear my mother say this all the time. You're not going to find too many people in the ministry or in church can stand up behind the pulpit. I used to hear my mother say this in the last years of going on to be with Christ. You know, she lived a life right. She used to put her hands up. She said, my hands are clean. Man, you can't, I can't hardly do that. With an open confession? Because why? We're still battling with things. But when you get to that point in your life that you can throw your hands up and say, my hands are clean. I ain't got no sin. I ain't got no blood on my hands. My hands are clean.
Whoa.
You can't say that and knowing that you're
right, right.
Because when you say that, you know you done surrendered. And now you're no longer leaded on this earthly body, on this earthly earth. You're now getting rid of sin of the kingdom. Because now God said you're clean. And he says in his word, I think Psalms 24, but ain't sin. He said, who will ascend into the holy hills? He said, a person with a clean heart, a person with clean hands. But even while we're down here, we can't be perfectly clean and a lot of things to do, but he gave us something else that's called mercy and grace. Going to open up the line over here. I got a young man that's been, he's really came out of a powerful test. He don't like me pushing him. I'm going to push him up in here. And he better push the button. He want to give you all a testimony. He don't want to push the button, but he had a testimony about the prayers that we prayed for him. And the Lord brought him through, and I thank God for him. I want him to give a testimony. I'm gonna push his button. He gonna like that. He's like, nope, I won't bring you no pastel. Don't bring it. Anthony, I got you on Front Street. we all prayed for you, and we want to know the testimony. And you know, you got to know that testimony. The last time I heard from Mr. Sweater, he was
saying, amen.
You know, really? I got a little bit to say tonight, Pastor Ellis. You know, and I love you, Pastor Ellis, so much, man. Only if you knew. Like when we was talking today, it's so much I learned from you. It's so much stuff I still got to learn because I'm still trying to get it right. I'm not all the way right yet, but I'm still trying to get it right. But every day I talk to you, I feel like it brings me closer.
Elder Carey can be a witness to that because he's the same way with his members and the people he talks to.
We ain't gonna
arrive until we get out of here. So
that's right.
At the time, if you help those who really those who want to be obedient and listen. You know, go ahead.
Like when I told you today, it's a lot of people that don't understand how you live in Houston and your pastor's in Dallas. And I tell him, I was just like, it's like, because I know him. I done been in his house. I done been around his family. I know what he's speaking is right. I know he's not trying to tell you nothing wrong. And that's why I tell him that, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of people and it's a lot of churches I done been through, and I don't even want to get into that. But, you know, I know you. And that's why I say, man, I love you, man. For real, though. But on my testimony, thank you for everybody who prayed for me, because I'm feeling 100% better. Even though I still got tubes inside of me, I got tubes inside of me and everything, and I'm coughing and all that. But I still feel even with all that, I still feel 100% better.
Amen.
You know, I've been through a 3 month long road, 3 surgeries in 3 months. Man, and I'm talking about laying on that table is not no joke.
It is
not no joke at all. But when you call on Jesus, though,
amen.
When you call on Jesus, man, you can, anything is possible when you call on Jesus.
Right.
Anything.
Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! I feel the Holy Ghost in that.
Anything is possible when you call on Jesus, and that's for real. I can't. It ain't no other way I can say that. No other way.
And you know what?
Because he brought me out.
Listen to him testify. It should make everybody on this line who are listening in and knowing that you're a part of that prayer. It should make you feel good. It's like when you're on a championship squad. You know, football, baseball, basketball team. Even though you was on the bench, you got a ring. You may not have been the one that missed prayer for him, but you played a part.
Amen.
Talk about the fervency of a prayer. God bless you, Brother Stretic. I'm telling you, we love you, man of God. I see we got 504 on the line. I ain't going to hit it yet, but I'm going to hit it in a minute. You might as well get ready for it. I'm going to look at when the Word of God came for. When the Word of God came for. And he says something here about when over in that position of John, if I can, now I will. I think it's in John, that area in John chapter in the, actually 14, but 12, and he says something. It's sort of like a stern warning. And we talked about this a little bit last time we were together. And he says something that, verily, verily, I say unto you, it's amazing how he says this, because it really sums up the testimony. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, right there, that's really, if you catch the increments of it, you can't go no further than that. Really, when you think about just that, the 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, if you stop right there and you go all the way back up to the 10th verse, you cannot fulfill none of this. Because he said, if you don't believe on me, then you can't go to 10th verse over in the book of John 14 and say, believe it or not. How are you going to believe? If you don't believe what you say, think about it. It shuts down the connection. It's like a train that leaves a caboose and hooks up. If it can't get proper connection, it can't pull nothing. The engine is designed, which is the Word of God. I believe you're talking to somebody. You got to be Kingdom of God, and you got to know the trestles that you're rolling on. And once you get a head of steam, once that engine's got all the capacities and trains, y'all see these trains. We see these trains. We lived in Michigan, grew up as kids. We see the trains come through. The safety precautions wasn't as strict as they are now, but those things that come through, and you can hear the whole ground moving. You can be standing far off the tracks, and you can feel the ground, the weight of that engine moving. And that's how God looks at you as being a man of God and the power that you carry. That when anything gets in your way, you know, it takes if it does stop, the train may stop out there, it devour whatever was in its path.
Amen.
So God, what kind of driver do you have? You look at these different cars, these different engines. You look at the S500. You look at the, I'm just using scenarios, you know, different cars, V8, V12, you know, Mercedes. It's not the type of car. It's the heart of the car.
Man.
What kind of, there you said it. What kind of power you have when you walk into Christ? Is it just empty words that mean anything? Paul dealt with the same thing in the process of his ministry. He asked God constantly about this problem he was dealing with. Some theologians say eyesight. Some theologians say he was, you know, it's a lot of say-sos about it, but you can use it to your own advantage and say, what is, how does that relate to you? What
there
are
you
doing that you're asking God to deliver you from, that you can have the testimony that you need to bring you out of whatever proclivity or orange cone, as I say, or whatever ditch you're stuck in? Because somewhere down the line, we're all shoveling, and I'm shoveling every day.
Amen, amen.
I'm telling you, some holes I done hit. And I said, Lord, you got to give me a front-end alignment. This system, some headaches, and I'm telling you, but God said, don't. See, you can't give up because your breakthrough is right on the other side of the threshold. The Bible said you don't know the time, place, or when. Not only just when the Son of Man will come, you don't know when your blessing won't come. And just as you're at the giving up, that's God said, he was right there at the door. He's about to knock it up. But because of your imperfection and having a non-importunity, as the man of God said, who knocked and wanted to give the bread over in the book of Luke, that came off a long journey. Jesus declared the word in Luke 11. He said, a man knocked on the door, but the man said, I'm in the bed. I think I'm in there, elder. I think I'm somewhere. He's talking Luke 11, I believe, after the fact. He declared his people to get them the keys to the kingdom. He said, teach us to pray. That story about a man who's on a long journey. And the man came up. Food in this house, amen. Somebody needs to hear this. He said he went over and he asked the man in the house. He said, "Do you have any bread?" And the man said, "Well, you know, I don't have anything. You know, I'm just paraphrasing the story because I'm not in the particular. Matter of fact, I'm a roll over to the scriptures. If y'all give me a chance. And for those who are calling into the show tonight, I want you to call in. Don't be shy. Don't be blue. Because I mean, I tell you." God has got some things that when you understand, when you release, God adds. But when you hold it, how the old saying say, you know, old Kenny Rogers say, you're going to hold, you're going to fold. You know, I put it like this. You're going to shame the devil, or you're going to allow the devil, you know, to come in. Because the word, the old people, how to say, speak to people, what, shame the devil? I think they are.
That's right.
Yeah, speak to shame the devil. But I'm I want to take time to look at something here, and I want to make sure that I had to go back here. And now we're talking about testimonies. Now, we ain't got long on this line, but I want you to see something in the book of Luke, chapter 12. Y'all know we need to get our spectacles, so I'm going to give y'all time. Usually I'm doing some computer teaching. I do all kinds. You know, it's just a teacher. You got to teach out a lot of stuff. You got to get a, what is this broad? So you got to speak broad, every scripture, every chapter. Every, you got to make sure you're going to reach everybody. If you're going to, if what was the old place we was having the Fort Saginaw Mall? What was it called? It was Ice Cream 31 or something like that, 31 Flavors?
Yeah, Desmond 33 Flavors.
Something like that, but they attracted people by the multitude of colors of that flavor. You got to have, when you're keeping the word of God, you got to have all types of flavors. You
can teach the people. Amen.
They deal with. I mean, that's just something I'm, you know, just kind of letting you guys go. But Jesus declared a word, he said in Luke chapter 11, he came to pass that he was praying. Now, this is a process where he talks about the keys to the kingdom. They want to have the opportunity to have what they see that's going on with John's people to happen with them. So they came over in it's almost like an area of, how do you say, I'm feeling bad. Because we not, look at John and them over there doing their work. That's why you hear Apostle Walker say, look, stay in your lane. Don't worry about what somebody else doing. Don't worry about Mike. No. He said, it came to pass that when they was praying, that a certain place that they ceased from praying and the disciples came. They was already praying, but they didn't feel they was getting the kind of effect that they needed John the Baptist was getting. So they say they ceased from praying and they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Now, it's really, when you think about the revelation, Jesus began to teach them about the model prayer from verse 2 of 11 and 2 over to that verse 4. He begins to teach them, if you're going to have anything to do, you have any effect on any life of any individual, first it's a self-examination because God got to get you right. And then you got to know how to be in his will. I'm trying to get you to see how you can become powerful in whatever you do. You got to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then everything be added unto you. Jesus made the word and said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven as it is in earth. He speaks back in a reference to Genesis 1 and 26. He speaks in reference to Deuteronomy 29 and 29. Why? Because you're talking about the secret thing belongs to those who commit. But a commitment comes out of your mouth. I'm trying to, I think we're teaching up in here tonight because we want to get you to see something. Because when you understand who you are and whose you are and the kind of power you carry, then you know what's in your utility belt. If you don't know what's in your belt, then you're going to lose it. Because when you got weapons, you got to know what kind of weapon to pull out in the midst of whatever kind of fight you're in. If you don't know how to fight, brother, you're going to get slaughtered. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what event you're in, what you need to use in the event, you're going to get taken out. Jesus, he says a word over here, and he said, what sayest thou, that which I should say unto the friend? Now, he says this in the fifth verse. Now, I ain't got my glasses, but I'm reading. Thank God I got good eyesight in my age. I'm still good. I'm in the name of God. Thank God. He said, he said unto them, which of you should have a friend and should go unto him at midnight and unto his friend? And he said, unto his friend and lend me three loaves. Lend me some bread. You know, and you can think about that either way. The word of God talks about the bread. Ecclesiastes talks about casting your bread up on the water and see what will return in many days. So bread is a revelatory word of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and direction. If I don't have, then I got to ask somebody. If I don't know somebody, the carriage door.
Nah.
It's not just to just somebody coming from a long journey, but Jesus gave a significant word according to what happened over in the model prayer. You got to know how to knock on the door of the kingdom with the model prayer and ask God for what you want. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what James tells you, and he gives you liberty. So even when you begin to knock and you get turned away, on down in a particular scripture, Jesus says that, for he said, a friend of his come off a long journey, he have nothing to set before them. And he said, within himself, he answered and said, trouble me not, for the door is now shut. And I'm just paraphrasing through the story, coming to get you to see something. You can read on your own in due time. Because Jesus is trying to get you to understand right here. When the man was turned away in the eighth, he said unto him, though I will not rise up and give this man anything and give him because of the man's friend, yet because of his, that word importunity, persistence. Even when you don't see things going your way, even when it seems like halos around you, not the kingdom halos, you just blurred. You know, I don't even see right. God said, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. When they're coming against you, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. When they keep tail bearing on you, talking about you, keep on knocking. You can't be, let me put it, you can't be weak when you're doing the work of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you that right now.
Amen, amen.
It's not for no wimps and babies. You don't want to be involved in this. If you don't know how to fight, you better pack your stuff and you better try another profession. Come tell you, in this walk, you're designed and made to do this work. I look at the thing where Elder Curry talked about some of the illnesses in his body. He never said, well, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to give up. I hear Evangelist Carter talking about what I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. I hear Anthony Stradic saying on the line and some of the other people that's on the line. Well, I guess I'm going to give up. I'm at the end of my road. All these certain, No. This is when you push in. This is when you lean in. What makes a weightlifter? It makes you stronger. The more weight you, the more pressure you come up under, the better you can perform. A person who can't perform pressure, get out of the kitchen. Because I'm saying pressure will heal you. Pressure will make you at the same time. Pressure and weight combined together, it will compress you. And even when you talk about the model thing that we anoint our heads with every day, we go to the store and get, they say, under strict extreme pressure, that's the only way the olive gives up the oil. Under complete pressure, it gives up the oil. So we want to make, we got a few people on the line here. I mean, I say it once again, don't y'all be ashamed about coming to the store. We're about to release on the show. We only got a few minutes on the show. I thank those who are joined with us. For those who can continue have anything to say at this time, and with all the numbers up on this line, we still good with what we got and some of the testimonies that got in. But I'm going to choose one person who I hadn't heard from, but I'm going to get them last. And now the number to call in is area code 516-387-1220. Don't let Pastor Ellis have to keep come telling you this, because if you got something on you, you need to get a ball. Because I hate to be repetitive. But anyway, 516-387-1220. If you know there's something that you know you're struggling. And now I don't want you to come tell me what you know. How do I? What can I do? Pray for me. Help me. Show me. Even as I said tonight, pray for this radio station. I'm telling you, man, it's on my last nerve. Because I'm telling you, all the wires and all the things here is a very complex system of what we're doing here from where we came from. I think Anthony Stretic was on the line, saw the thing when we came from when we first started. But this thing is totally advanced. It's totally advanced. It's all over now. It monitors everywhere. And this thing is, as a matter of fact, got to have an extra air conditioning because it heats up in this room while we're doing this work.
Wow.
That's how it is. Because it gets hot in this room, even though in the course of time the interview had to put another, and the system had to be converted over to blow more in here because we got 3-4 monitors in here and it's running. And so mm-hmm. we got to understand that the work we put into here is the work that we're going to get out of here. And this thing
says,
so I want to ask you, we have nothing, but you know, as the word of God say, if there's none but not one, but we're going to still move on because I believe we're anointed in this work. 504, I knew I talked to you last time. And this was a young lady. Y'all don't know her, but she talked about that. She said that God, she had prayed to God have a place for her and her kids. And she didn't
come. Yeah, I remember her.
You know what I'm saying? And I thought about that, and I still think about that. Unselfish prayer. So we want to open her up. She may not want to say anything, but I'm going to push it. I heard her push it in my life. That's my testimony. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to move forward. Now, we're going to get them off the line because we know God is doing some great work. Are you there, 504?
I'm here.
All right. We want to hear. We want to hear some of the great things that have been happening. That's what we want to hear since we prayed the last time we made the prayer request.
Well, I
want to
thank God for just, guiding me daily and keeping me strong and, because a lot of times when we go to work every day, we just don't realize that, we're not we're fighting a spiritual battle also,
Amen.
And especially with me being, I'm a manager, and I just feel like, I want to make the right choices, and I want to do the right things, and, for my girls at work, I try to make sure that I hire people who are compatible with them, because I do work at a Christian-based business, and so we definitely pray hard before we make decisions, and I know that's just been a hard thing for me is just, making sure that they're okay and, praying for my bosses and their strength because, when you talked about the prayer closet last time, and I feel like that's what God's been taking me in my prayer closet for lately is just to pray for them because, you don't realize a lot of people, we talk about it at our meetings all the time, how you go to work and, people don't realize that you have to pray for the head because they, they're the ones that's providing us with these jobs and, doing so much for our community. And they're getting fought spiritually all the time, too. So I've just been praying for them and their business lately and, they depend on us to come in there and work and, basically just to be their eyes and ears because they're not there. They don't know what's going on. So I just want to continue to pray for my strength at work. And, my doctor's wife was talking to me and she was like, I feel like we've just been getting fought so hard lately, Stephanie. Like, I don't know what's going on. So I just want to pray for them and their strength right now. And, I also have a friend that I need prayer for because I was talking to my sister tonight, and one of our friends, or it's really her friend, but, she's been keeping me updated. I know she found out she had stage 4 breast cancer a few months back, and then today my sister called me and was like, it's spread through her body, and I was just like, man, to just hear about these 30 and 40-year-old people that are getting these diseases that are just killing them dead, I just thank God for waking up every day, and that's small, compared to somebody that's fighting something like that. So, I just want to pray for, everybody that's just going through things. Like, I know that's hard for her, and you don't even know what to say when you hear that, but I believe that God places people in each other's lives for a reason, And so I know that my sister was definitely placed in her life to be the person that she is because my sister has a very big heart and she's always, you know, volunteering herself to, you know, go and cook for people and do stuff like that. And I just, I pray for her strength right now, you know, because I know that wasn't easy for her to hear today. So that's all that I, you know, and I thank God that, you know, I came across y'all, because I honestly can say, like, I've been a Christian my whole life, but I've never got on a prayer line. Or I, you know, and just to get fed the word, because I feel like that's where I've been getting attacked at, like just not going to church, or, you know, just being church hurt and not wanting to go in church and things like that. Like, I just thank God that I am starting to get spiritually fed, you know, from hearing y'all, even though I don't, you know, even though it's just once a week, you just don't know how much that means to somebody that really has been fighting that in their mind to even just go to church, you know.
Amen.
It's amazing. It's amazing. We thank you, woman, God, for that, you know. And once again, you know, everything she said came from her heart. Now, you couldn't hear it no better than that from a person who actually. Hold on, 810. I'm going to get you 810. We're right there with you. But I want to say something. I got Eric Elder Carey still lit up with us, and we're still kind of opening the studio. Now, you heard the testimony. You heard a lot of things within what she was saying. First, you heard the unselfish heart. You heard the very things that she's hurt, been belittled by the very. Now, the people tell us, and you got to realize this. And people say it out of, they don't really understand. They say, if you want, to be hurt, go to church. But that's not a true statement that we can make to people. We need to get people lined up. Understand that when you go in the house of God, you got to have your agenda, you got to have yourself together. And this is what he talks about, the parable at the seed sower. You really got to understand what she just said. She said something, she said not wanting to go to church, not to be around but hurt church people. And it's true. They're going to hurt you. But if we talk about, we go back to the weight. You got to know when you're going to competition, a happy thing. The church is not competition. But when you're in, you got to almost, it's bad when you got to bite your nails and fight every day to go and give God praise. That shouldn't have to be.
Right. There should be nothing stressful about going into the sanctuary, let alone giving God praise. And I'm going to tell you something. I just talked about this yesterday, I believe, as a matter of fact. We've got to come to understand the real meaning of Scripture and how it has to correctly be oppressed. He said something there that stood out to me. And when, you know, when she made that one term, she said, church hurt. See, that's a real entity. But what we fail to realize is when God says a thing, first of all, God means what he says. And the Bible tells us clearly that, you know, Paul tells us that God is a spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. And see, unfortunately, too many people confuse church activity with actual church. So you have to understand, since God is a spirit, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, that means that his church is also spirit. See, the real church, God's ecclesia, God's called out, God's spiritual Israel, that's his real church. It's not a physical thing. It's not these buildings and these people and these activities, you know. And we've got to understand, and in particular in the day and age that we're living, it's not enough to just be in the church. The church has to be in you.
Yeah.
See, God doesn't want your activity. God doesn't want our thoughts, our opinions, our feelings and all that. God wants us. He wants the real you, that spirit man. That's why that scripture is so important to us for our spiritual development and livelihood. Because, you know, first of all, Jesus said as long as we walk this earth, stumbling blocks are going to come, offenses are going to come.
Maybe that's what he said.
But he said two things. He said, woe unto the man who by way of offense comes. And he also said to those of us who can hold on and endure the offense temptation, those are the ones that shall be saved, because we got to understand that as long as we're walking around this dirty earth, we're breathing this dirty air, you know, we are still spiritual beings housed in earthly bodies. The earthly bodies is what brings the feelings and the things like that and develops the attitudes and you know, the popularity contests and things like that. But when you are really, connected with God, I mean, through and through, spiritually from the inside out, you progress and you grow to a level, even in peace, that no matter what man does or says to you or how he feels about you, it can't faze you because it'll never matter because you're wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in God. So that church hurt will never affect you again. I had a real good preacher friend years ago. We'd get up to preach, and the first thing he'd say, a lot of times he'd say, church folk are the meanest folk in the world. And I would say to myself, I guess so, because church folk ain't in the church. The church got to be in the folk.
She said, you're the temple. It's not the bricks. And even
there
as,
it is.
Even as listening in some words of encouragement, you know, for that young lady, and really, when you're walking, see, this walk is serious. And I was talking to a young evangelist who's in the ministry earlier today, and I said, well, you know, here at Harvest, we're at church, whether you show up or not, ministry goes on.
Amen.
I, as a man of God, I got zero tolerance for foolishness, really.
I hear you, brother.
That
you're
if you're not
free zone.
See, right, and whether you call, whether you be a part, but you got to understand it's about your walk. It's a personal relationship. It's
exactly.
A personal. And then when God declares that when you're walking in the power of the Spirit, and then he said, now, when you understand if you seek me first, he said, then, you know, if I be lifted up.
That's exactly it.
If I be lifted, then
I'll draw a man under me.
It doesn't matter. Whether you come on this station, you got to accept. It's kind of a bad some people think, but you got to have that kind of attitude in such a way that you love everybody, but you ain't got time for foolishness. This woman of God said that a lady had cancer. One of the young friends had cancer. She heard about that very things that's happening in her body that hurt her.
Yeah, of course, exactly.
The church is still separated and torn apart with all the chaos that's going on. But this is what you got to understand: that you got to get out of the circus. You got to get off of the circus, and you got to be able to go in. You got to pray when you're going to an arena. You're going. I don't care how big or how small it is. One thing I always learned: when I'm speaking before thousands, when I'm speaking before hundreds, when I'm speaking before two, or speaking before three, you got to understand that when you're going into the house of God, it's not about you. It's never going
to.
When I look out of the car. Thousand, whether it be 2,000, when I'm at certain arenas of church, I never actually gaze as a prophet, as a speaker. I don't flow with that every time, but I don't brag about prophecy and all that. I'm a prophet, I'm this and that. But when I speak,
exactly.
The kingdom of the Lord has given me. Because now I become an instrument for the kingdom of God. And if you focus
right.
When you're in the right place, it's not about your friends. Listen to me, what I'm saying is, y'all may sound this a little threatful. It's not about your friends. It's not about your sisters. It's not about your brothers. Believe me, if you love your mother, it's not about your mother. It doesn't, listen, if I can say something to help somebody, don't allow yourself to be among people who will drive wedges. Am I in there with you? God said that we ought to get along and strive peace with all men. It's not a performance center. It's not designed a competition center. When you find yourself engaged with people who are always constantly sweeping up the trash under the rug and never getting rid of it, you'll find a problem with that all the time. Because the way they, what the trash, what kids play, they always gonna have junk. No, listen to what I'm saying. And the lessons. Don't let them steal. Before what God has for you to do. And when that young man been coming to the service, he's been a part of the service, and this is what I do. It's those people who like that that come a part of this ministry at Harvest Mad Church and want to be. I don't allow people to come in and deter them with what they call their indoctrinal thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
People would indoctrinate. And she's coming with freedom from her heart. About some of the issues she's dealing with. It's not about a man issue. It's not about a lady issue. It's a God issue. Am I in there?
Amen.
I can reach out to people to help them in the position that they're in. When you understand who
compassion,
you are.
Compassion. The compassion of Christ, man.
It's the same thing. The word of God says in the book of Job, though you slay me,
yes, sir.
You got to understand that you got to get all that giggle, all that Google stuff out of your life. And when you're going to a game, whether you've been an athlete, whether you play volleyball, whether you play baseball, you got to understand how you got to set your tempo. Most people who have engaged, if where I'm engaged from, I got what you call predator eyes. That's why the most human eyes sit right in the middle of their head, because they're predators. We see straight ahead. We're like lions. We're like leopards. We're not like no frogs and stuff and see on the side of horses and see on the side of the head. You got to put bits in their mouth to turn them. We're predators. We focus on what we're doing.
I'm trying to hear this, man.
We got to have the kind of eyesight we need in the society, what we are today, because we're on a lot of things. Got. Let me get 810. Let me get 810. I got to get 810 in here. We're running on some fumes here, but I got to get 810 in. I see that the woman of God out of Down the Rough Ministries down in Saginaw, Michigan, Shawnette Davis, Dr. Davis has popped in. But I want to get 810 in here. 810, 739, 93, are you there?
Hi, yeah, this is Sandra. I was just giving praise to the gentleman who went through the surgeries and he came through okay. So I was glad to hear that the Lord was in, you know, in his, within him, and through the prayers and the testimonies that we gave him before he went into surgery. So I was just glad that he's doing well.
This woman, guys, is a part of Elder Carey's ministry. She works with them, and I guess, you know, from my understanding, they minister a lot together. But are you talking about some powerful testimonies that still rang in my mind about some of the things she said about her life? And when she wasn't even supposed to be on the phone right now, it was a 50-50 when she went into surgery. They said she was supposed to live, maybe say she was supposed to die, but she didn't know that she saw a light. You see? But God.
Amen.
I think it's a caretake business. I want to put all of it. I'm going to put it about that. But she helps other people.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I took care of my mom for 12 years, my husband and I, and then I had adult foster care home. But something, I had that for 10 years. And so now I'm more trying to be within the church and to be more of a caregiver to people. I feel that it's a need. And so I just shared a part of my life to let him know that it's okay to go into surgery, because that's where I've been. It was just a halo light over the surgeon when I looked at him. And so that's when I knew that I was going to be okay.
Praise the Lord.
How much guarantee can that be? That's the best guarantee you can get. But it's always a blessed woman, God, to hear from you or be on a service tonight. I'm a sneaky peek. And I'm going to hit Dr. Davis here right quick. She may be just, don't you put me in there. I'm going to hit you. Hit you, Dr. Davis. I'm going to argue with you. I know that number. Can't have from it.
God bless you, man of God.
God bless you.
God bless you. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, we got you clear. We can't. We always hit the anointing. So you know, come on.
Amen. God bless each and everyone that's on the line. I just chimed in because I actually was just getting back from Chicago, but I thank the Lord for having a willingness to come on the line and fellowship a little bit more, even though it's a little bit of time left, but fellowship with the saints of God. And I just thank God for this ministry that's going forth with Pastor Ellis and Testimony Tuesday. And the testimonies help people. They help people, you know, you overcome by your testimony. You have to go ahead and speak the testimony. And I'm going to just give this a short testimony if I can, please. Back in July 5th, I went to have my teeth cleaned, and he wanted to pull my wisdom teeth. Nothing was wrong with my teeth. I have good teeth, and he wanted to pull those. And I went in the next day, and he pulled my wisdom teeth, both of them. One of them was not erupted, and the other one was, but Well, the one that was interrupted, he had to cut that one out. And from there, it's been 4 months. I'm paralyzed in my mouth right now. And because he damaged the nerve.
Yeah.
And I have excruciating pain where on my right side of my mouth, lower right side, where it's like an iron that's on my mouth that's singeing and burning and the pins and needles. But through it all, God gives me the strength to push forward. You know, a lot of times we go through a lot of things and we don't know why. Because there's other people out there that's going through far more worse things. I was riding down the street some Saturdays ago, and there was three Caucasian women standing on the corner, and my mouth was hurting. And I end up, the spirit compelled me. I turned around, and I came back, and I jumped out the car, and I just told them that Jesus loves them, that they have a purpose. And I began ministering to the young lady, and the mother looked at me and told me, you know, God sent you because I was going to go home and take a lot of pills and kill myself. So although my pain that I had was, you know, very excruciating, you have to push through that because you can bless someone in the midst. And in the midst of me speaking and just giving this young lady a word, a right now word, she was blessed, and it just encouraged me even more that even though I'm going through what I'm going through, you know, it's somebody worse or off that's going through way more that I'm going through. So I just give God all the glory and all the praise. I thank God for each and every one of you on tonight, and thank you for the faith, Pastor Ellis. God bless you.
Amen.
You know, and she spoke very strong on that, because just when you think you had it all and you think you're going through something, somebody throwing a rock, a brick, a stone over in your window, and all of a sudden you crashing in. And then when you
come on,
it's a little worse. No, you just got your window caved in too. And so we really got the view of God. We really got to declare by His Son what He came to do for us in life. And it's really time out for the foolishness. Don't let people. Some people just got an angry spirit. They just I try to love them and I try to avoid them, not to the point of pushing them away, but, you know, speak some calmness into them. You know, it's ministry. It's designed to do a powerful work, but also it's got a lot of that the Word of God declared. I think He said, be careful. I think Luke chapter 12, He said, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Luke 12.
He told you there are people in the house of God. Has no other reason but to tear your heart out, tear you down, make you feel inferior. But we as men and women, God is designed to do the work. We have to go forward. We can't allow bad things to damage us and what we're going in the kingdom of God. And I think He speaks something very strong in the book of, I think it was, if it serves me right, I believe it's in the book of Hales. I want to make sure I look here for a minute. We got to get out of here. Over in the book of Matthew, I think it's Matthew 10, around that 10 or 38, how Jesus declares, I didn't come to bring peace. But He said, I come to bring a sword. And what He's talking about, He calls you to do the work. Sometimes mother, sister, brother, fiance, whoever, if they're not there for you, look, you got to make haste. You got to move. You know, He said, as a matter of fact, Matthew 10 and 34, for those who want to read that scripture, we can't get it enough. He said, I don't think I come to bring a sword. You know, He don't think I come to set peace on earth, but I come to what? I come to bring a sword, but not
to
peace.
To a sword.
Yeah.
A sword, that's right.
It's sad as it may sound to some, it means, well, God is love. Yeah, He is love. But I tell you, He'll hit you too. Don't think He's wrong.
Right.
He'll put something. Because when you talk about the anointing and what God's called to do, I think we was reading about some of them young gentlemen with us. We was reading over in the book of, I think it was Luke, 2 Kings chapter 10. I believe it was around 6, I believe it was. I was reading, talking to young men about in chapter 6, the how Elijah and Elisha was in the process and how they tried to keep him away from his master. It's a perfect story about how you deal with an armor bearer. you know, as Elisha was as Elijah. You know, he came to pour water over that man of God's head. So as Elijah, mm-hmm. stay hidden until I tell you. He said, as long as I live, he said, I'm not going to leave my master. But the time came that when the horses and the chariots and the very fiery chariot came to gather that man up and the mantle fell on Elijah, I'm uh-huh. telling you. When he took that mantle, he with the power that was presented on him, the reason the power was given to him because he was obedient to the servitude that was over him. And when he said, it's my wish that when you leave, that I get a double portion. I will get the double portion. And when he got the double portion, and it talks about how God said, touch not his anointed. Well, why are you saying that, Pastor? Because when he got the mantle and he walked toward the river, he touched the water that way and the other way. If y'all remember in the story, the young men who came out of the woods, this is how God says about, he's so serious about touching his anointed people. They said when his young men began to talk about him going up baldy, y'all know how it goes, goes up baldy, for those who read the story, he said he allowed a she-bear. They come out of the midst of the wood and devour them children. Don't tell me God won't protect his anointed. And no matter what you are, if you're out of line, you're out of line. And you got to get in. There's a season now where I believe God says his will, they grind slow, but they do grind.
Amen.
He stayed at grind. Touch not. And whatever you plant and whatever you meet out is going to be meted on back. Don't have a hard an angry heart being in the body of Christ. It will divert your anointing, it divert your ministry, and everything you expect to be for not even vanity because of the anger that you carry during the course of time. And the word of God tells us, you can't walk over the top of what's already been laid. The foundation been laid is peace, love, joy, and happiness. God got that for all of us. If you don't have that, you can't even receive the model prayer of Christ. And he's talking about trying to do the work. You can't have defenses about issues and answers. You got to be able to let things go and let God flow. Man, it's a blessing for you guys to be with us on tonight at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios. I thank God for the system holding up this long. I tell you, it's been really giving me a headache, but God, tonight has been a good time. We got a few more people that's on the line. You know, during the course of time, we had a point that they could have chose to speak, but right now we're pushing on. But I thank God for the young lady who's working, praying for her dentistry. Ministry. She says she's a supervisor. We thank God for the healing that's already taking place on the man of God, Anthony, and we pray for him. Mm-hmm. And about him. Last time he was going in, but now he's in and out. And we thank God for him on the line. Elder Carey, we thank you. We see we had Evangelist Carter on the line. He didn't push the finger to get in, but you know what? He know he's there. But we thank God for him being on the line. We thank for all our actual people that's out of our foreign countries with all the zeros lit up. When them guys come in, number zeros come on. We thank for all of them. Participate on the line tonight. It's a blessing to you, Pastor Albright, for you being a part and the things we're doing in the ministry, keeping those prophetic words that come across the Actually Faith channel. We thank God for everyone. And the woman of God, Sheila. Am I getting that right, Elder Carey? Is Sheila? I always say Sheila.
Sandra.
I gotta get Sandra. I can't say that when I heard her getting back. You forgive me, Sandra?
Yes, no problem.
Sandra. But we thank God for Sandra, the woman of God, all those who participated on the night, for those who just, you know, helping this ministry continue to explode, move beyond leaps and bounds. It started with a few, and now there's hundreds on every night. And we thank God for that. Elder Carey, take us out of here. We're ready to get out.
All right. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for these hearts. We thank you for these minds, God, that are submitted to you tonight, God. And we certainly thank you for your presence in this place. And, God, we ask as we leave from this session, but not from your presence, God, that you would keep each and every one of us, Lord, and bring us back to the appointed time, the appointed place, without hurt, harm, or danger to any of these loved ones. These and all the blessings we thank you for. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, thank God, and amen.
Amen. God bless
you. Good night.
See you guys again. Amen. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.